Okay, we're ready to rumble.
Mm-hmm.
This is Brittany, a.k.a. Wilma, coming to you live from the USS Melbourne, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I am Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And today we are going to be looking at Ames' book, Phoenix Incandescent. And we're not sure if we're pronouncing the author's name right. It is looks like abbreviations, A-E-M. So I'm not sure if she goes by A-E-M or AIM. That's how we are guessing how it would be pronounced if you pronounced it. This is a book that came out in 2013. It is the first book of the Endeavor series, I believe, Logan. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And currently, there are three books that are available. But Logan's going to give us the details. So I'll hand it over to you, Logan.
Fresh out of college, Charlotte is running the Wayfarers Inn, a castle in the middle of farmland that gives humans the chance to vacation amongst mermaids, centaurs, elves, and dwarves. The guests don't know that the magic is real, but Charlotte does, for now. She hasn't developed powers like her father, so now she must either marry into the magical world or have her memory wiped and live on her own. What's a girl to do? Her parents throw her a last chance ball to find a suitable husband within the magical world, but the dancing is interrupted. Join Charlotte and many magical characters, old and new, as she ditches the ball gown, picks up the quarterstaff, and begins a journey that'll expose the secrets her family has kept from her. Secrets that could kill.
This is one that kind of is reminiscent to another book that Logan and I talked about that you'll have heard before you heard this review, called Count Taku. Because he kind of is based around a castle and people don't know what's really happening. Where in this Phoenix Incandescent, it's kind of like a hotel and people don't know what's happening. They don't know about the fantasy world. So there's a little bit of similarity there. So you'll kind of recognize some of those. That's kind of cool there. That it, you know, it's people just on opposite end of the spectrum. This kind of worked on the same a little bit of theory. This one is one that when I've Logan, you're more of the fantasy reader than I. So what are your thoughts about how the fantasy was developed and the creatures? And did you enjoy all that?
The creatures seemed fairly good, though. The only one that was really made a mess of was the one that was, she was made a mess of. Because...
What do you mean made a mess of?
No known facts, so it's easily possible that it is. She's almost like...
Who are we talking about?
The main character.
Charlotte?
Yeah,
Charlotte. Okay. You gotta preface it. People don't know who you're talking about.
And that seems to be on purpose and seems to have some logic in there anyway. So, yeah. They seem to be fairly thought out on the how things go in the species, at least, yeah.
Okay. And we kind of mentioned Charlotte is the daughter of Audrey and Isaac, and this kind of starts out as with a prologue. This kind of starts out with a prologue with those two in an airplane, basically joining the Mile High Club, I believe. And I believe that's where Charlotte was probably conceived.
They were celebrating her conception and enjoying it very much.
Oh, okay.
So if she hadn't been conceived before that flight, she probably would have been on that flight. But yeah.
And a person that has no magical powers is considered a Dane. That's how I pronounce it anyway, D-A-N-E. And AIM basically does have a glossary, I think, in the back of the book for some of these, so that if people wanted to go back there and kind of look up some of these, that is there for you to look up. So that's kind of nice to have that. That way, if you're reading along and just happen to forget, you can flip back and check real fast. But this is fairly easily written, so I don't think anybody will have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. We have Bo Wingard, and he is Charlotte's childhood friend. And he is a bronze eagle mix with a human, and he has wings. And, you know, this is one of those childhood friendships that develops over time to something more. And that's kind of where the story leads to. Where we'll go from there, that's for future novels, but that's where kind of it goes to. And it goes, and we kind of talked about Isaac and Audrey a little bit already, but Charlotte is a Dane. And so she has no magical powers, even though her parents do. So it's like, ooh, bad, bad. And like Logan was saying, they give her a ball. Did you think Cinderella?
Yeah.
To a degree?
Well, not quite Cinderella, but I know I recognize the concept from somewhere, but I don't think it was Cinderella.
Well, I'm just thinking of the prince was given a ball to find his love of his life. Pretty much
exactly there, yeah.
So you just flip the, the genders.
Yep.
And you kind of have the same setup. So, because we got to get Charlotte married off.
Yeah. Though I kind of think it would have been a fairly good story if instead of the magical war happening, her initial plan happened instead. When they try to erase her memory, knock them on the head with a quarterstaff and run. Though apparently she was overestimating her own capabilities a bit there.
Oh, why would they have had to erase her memory?
Ah, because no non-magical people in on the secret, even if your parents are magical, apparently. No.
They give them to a certain age to develop, and if after that, they're either mind-wiped or they have to marry in. So there's that instance where you're like, oh, okay, I hope you like who you're connected with.
She did go to, was it college or high school? College.
She did go to college and then came back to run the inn for the summer.
Yeah.
So.
And that was basically, 4 years where she had barely any contact with magic at all.
Right. And it's one of those where all the attendants of the inn are some type of mystical or fantastical or fantasy creatures. You have, anything you can think of. You have your elves. You have your, like I said, her friend, Bo, is... mixed between human and bronze eagle. You have your house.
Hobgoblins,
okay.
Hobbs, household helpers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you have the centaurs, I think, are in here. They're kind of like.
Fawns and the fawns are. Basically centaurs, except for their bipedal instead of quadrupedal.
Okay, and what were the guards and stuff? I thought they were like centaurs.
Well, there was a unicorn. I remember that.
Were there unicorns?
Well, there was Uniweaver is one. Unitar, yeah.
Maybe that's what
specific
I'm thinking of.
Specific species of centaur. So there might have been more centaurs.
That's what I'm thinking of, because they kind of come into play as being the, that, you know, the kind of like the
centaur,
guards.
Yeah. There's centaurs, because the Unitar is that one person who's a twin and one of light, one of darkness thing.
Right. And this is one where, like Logan said, this could have went either way, and it could have been interesting either way. If they would have wiped her mind, it would have been her coming back and pieces of the memory coming back in. Mm-hmm. And her finding out all over about it again and trying to run for her life because people are chasing her. But it did not go that way. It took a different way. Her during the ball, they basically got attacked by another Magi, I believe they were called.
Weaver.
Yep. What, Weaver?
Yeah.
And they basically attacked the inn because her dad is a powerful wizard type person that's kind of controlling things and keeping the peace, and this other faction decided they didn't want to keep the peace anymore.
Yep.
So they're trying to take over, and her mother is seriously injured. Mm-hmm. And we find out a little bit of something about her mother, which we won't go into detail because I think that gives a little bit of away.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. You kind of scratch your head and said, how'd they do that? It's kind of like the Great Dane and the Chihuahua syndrome. How'd they do that? Read the book and you'll see why I'm saying, how'd they do that?
Well, some of them are depicted as the same size, so. Mm-hmm.
But we can't go into the deep about this unless we want to do spoilers. Do we want to do spoilers, Logan? I don't know.
I think we might not. But not I'm
on
not
that
sure.
One? Okay. Not on that
I'm
one.
I'm not sure.
That's kind of an interesting one. We'll have to discuss that off air. But the battle scenes are decent. Now, for me being more into the military type stuff and really dig the battle scenes, you know, the main character started out kind of within the battle scenes, but then in some form she kind of got drawn away from the main battle or was leading people away. So the battle scenes that could have been, you know, the Lord of the Rings epic type battles and stuff like that, they weren't really shown per se, because she was either protecting people or she hadn't come into her own, to put it that way. So she had to be kind of put in the background.
She had to be trained up too.
Right. She had to be trained because she wasn't trained as a warrior. And then when they came back out, AIM kind of discussed the aftermath of the battlefield and what had happened. And I think this is one where I classify it as a light romantic fantasy, because they kind of lean more towards the romantic side.
Yeah.
But it had the interesting fantasy elements plus the conflicts involved. Mm-hmm. So in that regards, go ahead.
I think it would be more drama than romance, because the romance seems to be mostly set. The very beginning might have some aspects of romance, but after that it's basically set. Now is the drama of that romance that happened.
And where they're going to go from there in that regard. So, excuse me. So, yeah, I can see where you're saying it's more of a drama after that fact is given to everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's one that can be read by a teenager. I don't think it'd be a problem there.
Yeah, I don't think so, yeah.
It's kind of in that in-between stage. It's what our library here in town in Kansas calls young adult. We don't have a teen section. We have a young adult, then we jump to adult. So, and we consider young adult to mid-20s. So I would say this is probably where it's marketed towards more, because she just got finished with college. She's coming back, so she is a young adult herself, the Charlotte character. So, and plus Bo is as well. So that kind of fits in there, but anybody can have fun with it. I had fun with it. It was easily written, easy to follow. It flowed really well. For me, like I said, just personally, with lacking the military aspects, I would have liked to have more battles, stay at the battles, and actually go through all that and get a little bit more in-depth on the battle scenes. And, you know, and I think that was a conscious decision to try to stay away from that. I don't know if she wanted to get that real gritty.
2.5 battles in there, I think.
Yeah, the ball scene.
Yeah, which is the one I'm counting as kind of a half battle. Right,
and then they, after the ball scene and that battle, they form a little group and they're trying to go to a kind of like a council. And that's where the next battle is taking place, is on the road.
Yeah, I know the next one.
Then they end up back at the inn.
Yeah.
because they didn't get very far. So, and like I said, in between there, it's her being trained how to fight. And she's coming into her own, trying to figure out where her place is.
And with how she was talking in the beginning with her plan, you'd think she already knew how to fight and all that. And how to at least scrounge around and live on her own, but...
To a degree, but I guess not to that extent. And
she apparently overestimated herself there.
Some people do.
Yeah.
They get into circumstances like, oh, I'm not prepared for this. And we can't really go into what's happening at the end. All I can say is that she's coming into her own, and she's figuring herself out as well as the individuals around her are trying to figure her place out. Is it going to be within the fantasy world or in the more human world, I guess you would say? The Muggle world, if you were in Harry Potter. Yeah. So,
the realm of the Danes.
Yeah, realm of the Danes. There you go. That Dane world. No. The Dane world. There we go. But
Dane world? Kind of like mundanes?
Hey, well, that could work. There you go.
From... What's it called? The City of Bones?
Oh, I haven't read City of Bones, so I don't know. Called people without magic are called Danes.
Danes?
So that's why we said Danes.
Well, it's kind of like mundanes because it's kind of like what she has in The City of Bones, mundanes, muggles.
Yeah, the muggles definitely is there.
And Dane Weevil, hers are the squibs, basically.
Yep.
Same thing.
Squibs are... Squibs are people who have magical family, but they don't have magical powers themselves.
Exactly, Dane Weavers.
Oh,
Dane Weavers. That's
what they're called in the book that we are talking about. So, yep, you hit it on the nose right there, Jonathan. He just didn't know what they were called in the book, so.
Yeah.
He knew where we were going, though. I enjoyed it enough to pick up the next book to see where it's going to go. Again, I consider it more of a light fantasy than your traditional hard fantasy, if you want to give it a distinction, because I'm thinking of a hard fantasy like Lord of the Rings, Wheel of Time, where they get nitty-gritty into the battles and stuff like that, where I don't know if this author is going to want to get dark and gritty like that. I think the intent is to keep it a little bit lighthearted. I think they were
actually going for a bit of the grit in the battles.
But not as much.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't get involved with the battles. She kind of kept them to a minimum, and then she discussed the aftermath some, yes. But I think she's trying to go for a little bit lighter fare. That's not saying, ha-ha, we're having fun, but not as a darker tone like some books are. Because you can really get really dark with some of the battle scenes if you want to.
Yep.
And I think that's just her... seeing where she wants to place this, within the young adult area. So teenagers could read it as well as the adults and have fun with it. Anything else you want to comment about it, dude?
When you're in battle, and especially when you're not focusing on what's right in front of you to attack in range, have at least another person there to keep people from dogpiling you and killing you. That seems pretty basic.
Okay. Doesn't always happen on a battlefield, though, dude.
True, but...
that is true. You always want to try to have somebody on your back, but that doesn't always happen in a battlefield.
Yeah, and if it does happen, focus on what's around you and getting back to where you can regroup.
And they kind of do that to a degree. They regroup in the barn in that one section.
True, but I'm thinking of the... Fauna, I think her name was. That incident.
The fawns?
The...
And then we're not talking about the...
Dual pistol.
The fawns. We're talking about like deers. Fawns. Deers. They're kind of... That's what I pictured them as. They're kind of related to the deer family.
Yeah.
Fawns.
There is a... I'm pretty sure they're similar to one of the things from mythology as well. I can't remember what they're called. Because it's not centaurs, but the...
The goats?
Yeah.
I don't know either. What's the mixture between the goat and the person, Jonathan?
I'm pretty sure Pan is one.
Yeah, Pan's one.
Centaur?
No.
No.
That's a horse.
It's kind of like a mixture between a goat and a person.
Phil from Hercules was one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't think of what they're called. No. I can't. No, oh, well.
I'll look it up. Yeah. But when in doubt, Google it.
There you go. But this is one I'll have to do a discloser. Logan read this book without knowing this, because I don't think you know who the author is, do you?
Not at the moment, no. I now vaguely know something about what you're disclosing, I'm pretty sure, but yeah.
The author of this book is actually part of our family. She is married to one of my cousins, so this is one where she came out with this, and she's still writing right now. She's, like I said, she has 3 books out. She has a short story book or a standalone novel out as well, you said?
Nonfiction, actually.
A nonfiction, okay. And I'm pretty sure she's working on, if not the next book in this series, she's working on some other stuff. Centaur, there we go.
Satyr, yeah. Okay. Satyr. S-A-T-Y-R.
Okay, Satyr. My bad. Thank you, Jonathan.
Satyr. That's
Satyr. Thank you. Yeah, I kind of picture the fonts like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, AIM or AEM, you know, disclosure there. So, that's kind of was news to Logan when he read it. He didn't know that, so that's why I was getting his views and see how he thought about the book. Again, this is one for me that I liked it. It flowed well, but I'm sorry. I just like battles. But I enjoyed the back and forth between Bo and Charlotte. That she captured that really well. So those scenes with them felt realistic, and you know, it felt nice. And I liked the character of Bo. I pictured him really easily in my head with the eagle's wings and stuff like that. And they're the type where they can fold into his body. Or do they not?
Maybe.
I can't remember now. It's been a few weeks since we've read it. But if she feels up to it, she might come on and visit with us, and she can get into a little bit more details about some of this.
And now I know what you were thinking of when you were talking about what the mages and stuff were called. The magical species are called Magani.
Okay, thank you.
That's what you're
thinking. That was something like that. That's why I went with mage. But I knew it was something related to that term. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for us for this go-around. We do have some tweets here. So we'll go into some tweets that we've received. We have a couple here from some musicians again. We looked at Emma Charleston's Don't Wait Up, and she sent us a reply saying, thanks to Comic Pop Library, glad you like the song and video. We also got one back from Kylie Spence. We looked at her song Line Eyes, and she came back with, aw, thank you so much. So to both Emma and Kylie, thank you for sending us your music to take a look at, and for everybody to listen to that listens to Comic Pop Library and goes to their website and looks there. If anybody wants to email us or tweet at us or Facebook us, do. We'll be glad to hear from you, and we'll mention it on the air. So remember to do that if you can. The email is admin@comicpoplibrary.com, and you can find us by looking up Comic Pop Library on Twitter or Facebook. Placing it in the libraries, I have no problem with placing these in the libraries. I think they're nice reads. I think people will enjoy these. Your hard fantasy readers, you know, they might give it a shot. I don't know if they'll actually stay with it, but I think your readers of the light fantasy and a little bit of the romance genre, they'll enjoy this. And this genre has become more and more popular with the decades passing by. So the fantasy romance and the supernatural romance, those are two genres that are turning into bigger markets for everybody. So I think the libraries will have a readership for these within their library. And you can place it within the young adult and it would fit fine, I think.
Yeah.
Anything else on you think that about libraries?
I think it's...
You think that works? It works for you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope everybody out there's had fun listening to us talking about Ames' book, Phoenix Incandescent. Again, this was the first book of the Endeavor series. You can go to Amazon and look up AEM, and you can find our books that way. So that's going to do it for us this time. We've been having fun. Hope everybody out there has been having fun listening. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye. See ya.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye. Determined.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.